The word of God given to us today is Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Please turn to page 95 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. It's Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Allow me to read the words of God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen. I pray that the grace of the resurrected Lord will be filled in your homes and workplaces. John chapter 4 testifies about the incident where Jesus meets with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Jesus said that he will pass through Samaria together with his disciples from Judea, the south of Israel, to the northern Galilee. In order to go to Galilee from Judea, going through Samaria was the fastest way. But at the time, people of Judea and Samaria avoided getting associated with each other. So people of Judea would never go through Samaria and would detour through Berea and Decapolis, the eastern regions. The distance was twice that of going through Samaria, but that was the norm. Jesus arrived at a town next to Mount Gerizim in Samaria named Sychar around noon, and he was tired. Just then, a Samaritan woman came out to draw water, but she had no intent on sharing it. So Jesus asked her, "Will you give me a drink?" The woman did not give him water, but said as follows, as in John chapter 4, verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." The Assyrian Empire used the mixed race policy of having their people move over to the country that it conquered and marry the people there. Many Assyrians moved to Samaria, the capital of northern Israel. As time passed, the people of Judea and Samaria barely talked to each other and ignored one another. That is why, when Jesus asked for water, The Samaritan woman would have been very baffled and probably thought, what nonsense is this? And a non-coherent conversation went on between the two. The woman asked about the well water, and Jesus talked about the water that people will never thirst. Let us look at John chapter 4, verse 15. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. The response of the Samaritan woman meant more like, water that people will never thirst. If there is such a thing, why don't you give me so that I won't have to come to draw water ever again? Rather than, Sir, if you are someone who can give me such water that people will never thirst, please grant me that water so I won't have to come out during the day to draw water. Jesus then asked her to bring her husband, and she replied that she does not have one. Just then, Jesus says something very surprising. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. The Samaritan woman had no choice but to acknowledge Jesus, who precisely knew about her past, was a prophet. So she asked about the right place of worship, which she had been pondering about for some time. At the time, the Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim, and the Judeans worshipped on Mount Zion, or Jerusalem. And she was asking which of the two places was the right place of worship. But Jesus did not answer the question with the right place of worship, but by time. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. This is because God is an omnipresent being. The reason why we come out to a fixed place to worship, even though time of worship is so much more important than place of worship, is because coming out to that place at that hour will open up our heart to God, and through that open heart, you will offer yourself to God and build a relationship with God. It's also because the encouragement you exchange with other worshipers counts very much as well. The social distancing rule will be lifted starting tomorrow. Now, I pray that all of you will come out to the places of worship or other gathering places, including Sunday worship, Bible studies, as well as prayer sessions. The conversation between the Samaritan woman and Jesus, after Jesus had answered about the right time of worship to the woman's question about the right place of worship, were as follows. John chapter 4, 20, verses 25 and 26. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Later, the woman went back to the town and told the people as follows. John chapter 4, verse 29. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? The Samaritan woman spread the news that the man she had met was the Christ, the Messiah. To the Samaritan woman, the man she met by the well at noon and asked for water was just another Jewish man at first. But as soon as Jesus mentioned gifts of God and the living water, her addressing Jesus had changed to Sir. When Jesus talked again about the living water, in other words, a spring of water that will make people never thirst again, She called him Sir, asking to never make her come here to draw water again. When Jesus talked about her husband, which she could never really talk about to other people, she said, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet." The way that she addressed Jesus, "Sir," kept adding depth to its meaning. And now she called Jesus a prophet. Finally, after talking about the worship, she went back to town and testified that, "Is he not the Christ, the Messiah?" We can witness that the Samaritan woman's perception towards Jesus keeps changing as she keeps conversing with him. What's important is not about Jesus changing. Jesus was all the same, all throughout. It was not like Jesus changed his attire, nor was it like Jesus' face shined. The more a Samaritan woman was able to face her reality, the more clearly she could see the Lord who is the truth itself. Today's passage also testifies of how Peter finally opens his eyes to the Lord. Jesus was spreading the word of God to the people who gathered up at the Lake of Gennesaret. However, with more and more people gathering up, Jesus could no longer deliver the words there. And so he borrowed a boat and spread the words on that boat, using it like a podium. After he was done spreading the words, Jesus went straight to Simon, the owner of the boat, and told him to set out to deep water and cast the net down to catch fish. Simon obeyed his words and let the net down, caught a large number of fish to make the net break. He signaled his other partners on another boat to help him fill his boat, and both boats became full with the fish he caught. We have learned in last week's sermon that this means that only when our lives let down the net into the deep water, in other words, the place where God's word is, will we be able to experience an abundant life and find the meaning of our lives. But what Simon Peter did right after catching fish doesn't quite seem understandable. Verse 8 testifies as follows: "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.'" It would have been more convincing if Simon Peter had been very happy about catching so much fish as to fill up two boats, or if he did not have to go out to catch fish again for the next month after selling all the fish that he caught, or opened up a fish store called Galilee Fishery by the Lake of Galilee with all the fish that he caught a speed capital. Or maybe if he called up all the people in the neighborhood and held a feast with those fish. Or it would have been so much more convincing if Peter, surprised by Jesus' ability, kept thanking Jesus, holding on to his hand, or jumped up and down from being overjoyed. But Simon Peter looked at all the fish that he had caught, bent down on his knees before Jesus, and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Can you understand this? If a person who had lost everything he had at a gambling house was sighing at the thought that all he had left was the fare to return home. And someone came and helped him win jackpots continuously, using his fare to return home. Would he be able to confess just like Simon Peter did? Also, let's say that a person failed at everything he did, became completely broke, and all he had left was just 5,000 won, so he was going to take his life after treating himself with cheap ramen and kimbap. Just then, someone comes up and tells him, go to a lottery store in Hapcheong and buy a lottery ticket. The numbers are 20, 4, 17, and the last two numbers are the month and day of your birth. He did just that and won the first prize. Do you think he would have been able to confess just as Simon Peter did? He may have been able to say, you are the best gambler, or you are my lifesaver. But he may not confess just like Simon Peter did. In fact, the beginning part of today's passage also doesn't sound so convincing either. When Jesus asked to use Simon's boat as a podium to give sermon, and requested to have that boat put out a little from the shore, Simon did not say anything against them. We tend to think that because Jesus and Simon Peter were in a teacher and disciple relationship, especially as Peter was practically the head of the disciples, Peter naturally lent his boat to Jesus. However, at the time, Jesus and Peter were not yet in the teacher and disciple relationship. It's not easy for a fisherman to lend his boat. In the carpenter's realm, it is an unwritten common law that they don't lend out their tools to others. If someone asks a computer graphic designer to let him or her use the computer, which contains all of the data and portfolio for a few hours, who would ever allow it so easily? If someone asks a person who makes a living using a one-ton truck to lend them that truck for a few hours, would that person be able to hand over the key to the truck? It won't be easy to do so, even if it was an ordinary car. Of course, nowadays, you can easily rent a car, and there are other types of transportation, so there is almost no need to borrow someone else's car. To a fisherman, his boat means the world to him. And right this moment, Simon had catched zero fish all night long. Something that rarely happens had happened to him. So he was washing the net, feeling hollow, disappointed, and frustrated. And yet, how was he able to not say anything against Jesus when Jesus boarded onto his boat and asked him to put out a little from the shore? What's even more unconvincing is how he was able to obey the Lord when he said, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Let's say that maybe lending the boat wasn't such a big deal. But going out into the sea to catch fish again at such a late hour is a different story. For numerous times, I've listened to sermons that talk about the justification of obedience using this passage. The sermons talked about how Peter obeyed the words of Jesus to let down the net into the deep water. Even though it was not an appropriate time, not an appropriate location, and he was physically tired. It even says that he obeyed the Lord even if it hurt his pride. Why? Because it is like Jesus is an architecture major in an engineering school, and Peter is a fishery major from a fisheries college. So Peter was an expert regarding fishing, and yet he still obeyed. As much as his unconditional obedient attitude gives us a lesson, it is more important to look back on what had happened up until Peter fell onto his knees before Jesus. If we are to shed light on the four books of gospel in the New Testament, Jesus and Peter's meeting in today's passage was not their first encounter. Jesus and Peter's first encounter was as follows. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Andrew and John were originally the disciples of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist said, "The Lamb of God," they became Jesus' disciples. The Lamb of God indicates the Messiah, which the Israelites have been waiting for a long time. The first thing that Andrew did after becoming Jesus' disciple was run to Peter, his brother, and tell him that he met the Messiah and brought him before Jesus. When Jesus met Peter, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, Peter." The name Peter means to listen and was one of the common names used back then. Among the 12 disciples of Jesus was another Simon who was from Canaan, a zealot. And there was another Simon from Cyrene who carried the cross in place of Jesus. And Cephas, or Peter, means rock. Jesus said to Simon, "You will be called Cephas." This shows the Lord's will that I will make you be called a person who is like a rock. This was Jesus and Peter's first encounter. But Peter could not be sure that Jesus was the Messiah and did not think that he could rely his life on Jesus. So he returned home to continue his life as a fisherman. Later, Peter heard of the story that Jesus made wine out of water. He also heard about the story of how Jesus healed the son of a king's liege. Now, Jesus came to Galilee. The rumors on Jesus' teachings and healings spread here and there like echo would ring. And Jesus' fame increased day by day. Jesus came to Capernaum in Galilee, taught of God's words at the synagogue on Sabbath, and healed those possessed by demons. And then Jesus came out of the synagogue and headed towards Simon's home. Let us look at Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law, who was suffering greatly from high fever. In the book of Matthew and Mark, they write that this incident had taken place after Peter had become Jesus' disciple. But in Luke, it writes that this happens before he became a disciple. Judging from the fact that the book of Luke best records Jesus' life in chronological order, and in the first part of Luke, Luke writes to Theophilus that he is writing everything in order, it is highly likelier that this incident happens before Peter became Jesus' disciple. Simon would have felt something that no one else would have when he watched Jesus healing his mother-in-law's high fever. And after that incident was today's event. After Jesus borrowed the boat and delivered his sermon and told Simon to go into deep waters and let down the net to catch fish, Simon answered as follows. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Up until this moment, Simon called Jesus Master. Simon still could not acknowledge Jesus as the Lord, Christ. But when he obeyed the Lord's order, there were so many fish that the net started to break. The net wasn't the only thing that was breaking. Simon's heart was also breaking. At the moment, he could no longer deny Jesus. That is why Simon Peter confesses to Jesus as follows in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." At last, Simon Peter recognizes Jesus as the Lord, Kyrios. Of course, he still made mistakes and was often rebuked even after. But he left everything he had and followed after the Lord, and he transformed into the man of faith like a rock, as the Lord had said. The Jesus that Simon Peter had met for the first time, the Jesus that made wine out of water at a wedding in Cana, the Jesus that healed his mother-in-law's high fever, and the Jesus that he is meeting right now are not different persons. They are all the same person, Jesus, the Lord. Simon Peter faced the truth of himself as a sinner upon facing the truth about the Christ Jesus. But the Lord took him in as his disciple. As such, if you get to meet with the Lord as the Lord and get to know him properly, you get to face your ugly self. And then you will be touched by the fact that the Lord has allowed us the grace of salvation to such an awful being as myself. Prophet Isaiah saw in a vision at the temple, God sitting on a high throne. Inside the temple was filled with the robe of God and seraphims, each with six wings that were serving God. With two wings they covered their faces, with the other two wings they covered their feet, and with the last set of wings they were flying and sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." But Prophet Isaiah, who experienced the glory of God, confessed as follows. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." When Prophet Isaiah saw God high and exalted, seated on a throne, he was not touched or filled with glee, but faced the true ugly self in himself. He saw his own self, which he would have to see fit even if God decided to perish him. Of course, God made Prophet Isaiah his channel to spread the word of God to Israel. The same thing happened in the New Testament. Domitianus, the 11th emperor of the Roman Empire, persecuted Christians extremely. In around 95 to 96 AD, Apostle John was exiled to the Patmos Island that was across Ephesus. The book that John wrote there about what Jesus Christ had shown him was the book of Revelation. John testifies as follows of when he had met Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Apostle John also was not touched, nor was he happy. Nor was he happy to see the Lord in his glory, just as Prophet Isaiah was, but he found his true self that fell at the Lord's feet as though dead. Of course, Jesus, the Lamb, made John write the book of Revelation and taught of what we should look up to for the past 2,000 years when Christians were living through a hot, tough world. Today is the Easter Sunday in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the resurrected Lord? The resurrected Lord has promised us through Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Lord, who is standing before Simon Peter, is standing before us in spirit as well. When Peter had met Jesus for the first time through his brother Andrew, Jesus was the Lord. The Jesus that made wine out of water. The Jesus that healed the son of a king's liege were also the Lord. And the Jesus that spread the word of God in various areas of Galilee. The Jesus that healed the high fever of Peter's mother-in-law were all the same Lord. That Lord, Jesus, made Peter, who has already experienced an empty net, to catch such a large number of fish as to break his net. And that was when Peter was able to find himself, his true self as a sinner, as he opened up his eyes towards Jesus. But Jesus took him in as his disciple. For the past times, even though we were not aware of the Lord in our lives, the resurrected Lord was always before us. Also, during the time that we denied of the Lord and were stubborn to live a life without the Lord, the resurrected Lord was always before us. The Lord, as he had promised, was always before us through the past and now. He is with us, and he will always be with us. If we face the Lord, lifting up our eyes, we will be able to find out how awful we are. And yet, the Lord will be with us, and he will renew us every day. Because he is the Lord, the resurrected Lord, who has shed the blood of repentance on the cross. Let us pray. Father God, Jesus was the Christ when he asked for water to the Samaritan woman. He was the Christ when he was talking about the spring of water welling up to eternal life. And he was the Christ when he asked her to call for her husband and when he talked about the worship. The more the eyes of the Samaritan woman opened up towards Jesus, she was able to see the Lord who was the Christ more clearly. When Simon Peter was dragged in his brother Andrew's hand, Jesus was the Lord. Jesus was the Lord when he made wine out of water, and when he healed the sick people while spreading the word of God from different synagogues in Galilee. Jesus was the Lord when he healed Simon's mother-in-law as well. He was also the Lord when he did not leave Simon to go empty-handed, but made him catch so many fish as to make the net break by letting the net down into deep water. Upon realizing the true identity of the Lord, Simon Peter confessed himself to be a sinful man, but the Lord took him in as disciple. Now that we celebrate Easter Sunday, we look back to our past lives and confess that the resurrected Lord was always before us. When our lives are on the road of pilgrimage, as well as when we are passing through the valley of Baca, the Lord was before us. We also are sinners and full of flaws, but allow us to accompany the resurrected Lord who is before us, and thus may our lives, families, and the society become new every day through the resurrected Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.